This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We need to hear perhaps the most important topic of all being discussed.
I think our topics have been really good. We've gotten a lot of good feedback with it.
And this is, by Chris Tannehill's admission, the most important topic of all. Right, Tanny? This is, just to be clear, you think this is more important than processing feelings on the loss of Ryan Sandberg, cancer research, anybody in the trade deadline, any Bears, anything, right?
Yeah, I think so, because this affects someone I know personally.
Why? How about because this is the most important thing that ever happened in the history of the world? How about that?
This is the most important thing I heard on the radio station today. This is Crane Kenny with Raheem and Harris.
Well, it kicks off with Matt Spiegel singing the national anthem on the first day of the series. You know, that unfortunately got postponed because of the rain. You have that to look forward to, too.
And here it comes. Let's listen.
Well, Matt actually can carry that off. That'll be one of our better renditions, I have a feeling.
I'm sure he'll love to hear that.
Yes, Layla, he would love to hear that. And he is loving hearing that right now. No pressure, though.
One of our better renditions.
Yeah, and there's been quite a few.
I said there's been a lot.
Did you like hearing that more, or that someone was willing to pay like upwards of $1,000 to host Hit and Run with you?
I gotta
know this.
I liked all that stuff. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Look, I didn't get into this business to not have validation.
Kramer says you'll need it because you're an entertainer and you're desperate for attention.
That's true.
I mean, that's not why I didn't get in.
It's why we all do this.
Yeah, it's why
I got in the business for sure, to see your reaction to hearing that for the first time.
Well, Matt actually can carry that off. That'll be one of our better renditions, I have a feeling.
I'm under a lot of pressure, you know, and you put us there. Nothing's riding on this except the First Amendment of the Constitution, freedom of the press, and maybe the future of the country. Not that any of that matters.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We got you for a full boat today until 6 o'clock. Speaks, you were out of the room when we asked Alex about this, but he had quite the weekend. So we are going to share some of that. He is here and ready to tell you about his bougie experience. Chris Tannehill with another great open. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello. Game on for the anthem in a couple weeks. Kurt's coming over to practice again on Wednesday. We had practiced. It was all dialed in and ready to go. Then the rain came, so I forgot how we're going to do it. So you gotta remember and get it all back and dialed in.
I don't think that anyone who knows you is worried about this.
Nice.
Except for you.
I do know myself, and I am worried about this.
Yes. Everyone else knows that this is going to be great.
It's going to be good, man. Very excited about it.
August 18th, the first game of the doubleheader, Spiegs is going to sing the national anthem.
And I should say that was probably not the most important thing on the radio station all week last week. Yeah. We helped a grieving city process the loss of an icon. And then with Danny Parkins leading the way, we raised $750,000 for cancer research.
That's insane.
And then the Cubs like kicked in everything that they did, and with the whole day Saturday and putting those uniforms up for auction, I think it's over $2 million. Now,
that's beautiful.
Unbelievable job in collaboration with everybody involved. Really cool to be a part of it.
And you're right, though. I think that we're going to see this grieving process for Rhino play out for the rest of the season and maybe beyond, because everyone wants their opportunity to say what they want to say. If that's leaving flowers at the statue or leaving flowers at the stadium, I think that people still are still hurting from it. And this weekend it played out that way, where there was a lot of shared grief. And I think that can actually be a positive. The fact that you're sharing that grief with 40,000 other people who happen to be at the ballpark, maybe it helps you deal with it a little bit easier because there are other people that are going through it too.
I think that's absolutely correct. And look, we got a lot going on today, a lot of good Bears stuff. And I know you've gone down the rundown for the most part, but Gordon Wittenmeyer to talk Reds and Cubs, Ant Heron, and I'm looking forward to hearing about you and your time at Bears camp. And we'll get to all of that. But like everything you just said about Sandberg and the processing is part of the vibes all the way through the weekend over at Wrigley, as is the trade deadline having come and gone. And you and I have not even really been together,
right,
and had a chance to talk about what happened at the deadline. Because my question for you is, do you think what happened or did not happen at the trade deadline has changed the tenor of this Cubs season, which has been truly joyful and kind of a surprise at first with the emergence of PCA and all that? It has been, frankly, a really lovely and optimistic first 4 months or so. And now that the deadline has come and gone, have the vibes changed to your perspective?
So let's walk it through a little bit. You're nervous at the beginning because you lose Justin Steele right away. And you go, oh, well, that's not good. You're going into this thing without your number one starter. How long are they going to be able to handle winning games if they don't have that guy every fifth day? Then you lose Shota. You lose him the next month. So now your number one and number two guys are gone. While that's gone on, Matthew Boyd was excellent for them. PCA was slash is an MVP candidate. Kyle Tucker was incredible. Will finish in the top 10 of MVP candidates in the National League. Oh my God, look at what Seiya Suzuki is doing. Look at what the catchers are doing. Look at what the bullpen is doing. Look at what Michael Bush is doing for this team. All of these things led to a start for the Cubs that I think most people were like, yo, like this is a real team that's got a legitimate shot to win it all.
Last week in the MLB power rankings, Cubs were number one. Best record in MLB probably at the time. They're still right there with the best. I think they're second best behind Milwaukee right now. But they were number one last week in some power rankings. And now that the deadline has come and gone, where are they for most people? It's a different kind of thought process.
If you go back to 3 weeks ago, the discussions that we're having about who should have gone to the All-Star game from the Cubs, and was this person left out of all of that? And the thinking is that, of course, this is a go-for-it year. Look at them. The Dodgers are not great this year. The beast is wounded. It can be slayed. So you have that.
And you have the Cubs signaling that it's a go-for-it year with the trade for Kyle Tucker. And with the fact that Jed's on the last year of his contract.
Right.
The fact that you are going for it.
And then the announcement comes that Jed's got the contract extension. And then there was the concern. This is our concern, dude. The concern of, does that make him more conservative just because he now has to think about the long game of keeping the Cubs as an organization healthy versus a guy who's kind of doing a little bit of Maverick stuff, like the Kyle Tucker thing, saying, we're going for it right now. So then you get to the trade deadline. So after I made it back from Hallis, and I'm sitting there, I was listening to the Radiothon as I'm coming back, and then I started thinking about you. Because I was sitting here going, ooh, Spiegs is, he is in two different places right now.
doing the thon and processing deals and no deals.
And you keep seeing deals like happen, and you're like, yeah. Oh, and you're waiting for the Cubs to come by.
That's one of the weirdest radio shows I've ever done, without a doubt. So, you're seeing all that happen.
And then nothing happens for the Cubs.
Well,
not nothing, but not anything big. It doesn't mean it can't be significant. Like, the Castro thing might end up being significant.
I think the Castro thing is terrific for the roster. And I think the roster offensively is in a pretty damn good spot, actually. I think that Taylor Rogers and Andrew Kittredge are very nice depth adds for the back end of a bullpen. And hopefully that's what Ben Brown will be now that he's going to be converted, because Mike Soroka, who's the depth starter, is going tonight. And it's been a weekend of contextualizing or rationalizing, depending on
copium.
Yeah, exactly. Depending on how you want to think all that. But I can't help but feel like the vibe has changed and the tenor has changed to one now of hope and a little fear. Because if the Padres, Phillies, or Mets, who were all more aggressive National League teams at the deadline, are the ones who survive and go past you in a playoff series, perhaps with the strength of some of their higher end bullpen additions that they did, or if Merrill Kelly's great for the Rangers, or if Shane Bieber is great for the Blue Jays, it's going to be very difficult to not sit here and go, why didn't they do that? Why didn't they do that? Because now what Jed Hoyer has done and what the Cubs have done is they're kind of willing to roll the dice in terms of, we're good enough to get in, now we just got to hope things go well.
Right.
And that's the big picture goal year after year. But they doubled down with the, I think we're good enough to get in, now let's hope things go right, as opposed to trying to complete the puzzle, which may not work for these other teams, but they didn't try to complete the puzzle before the playoff run.
I don't know if you can ever really make your team great for the playoffs. The variance of it is insane. But, and that's why I always talk about how division championships need to be celebrated a lot more than we actually celebrate them. And that was the part that stung me a little bit, because I'm sitting there going, it doesn't feel like, and these moves that they make may end up making us all wrong, but it doesn't feel like there was a, we want to win this division move by the Cubs. And my whole thing is, if you're aggressive and it doesn't work, people will, they will give you credit for the aggression. A Cub fan within the sound of my voice, if they had gone and made some of those moves, would have been like, I get it. And I'm glad that in a year where they thought they were good enough to win the World Series, they went for it.
And it cost us player X or player Y, so be it.
And I mean, even now, like, people are talking, Cam Smith looks like he's going to be a player. And I think a lot of Cubs fans thought that that was going to be the case. He hasn't been great the last like 4 weeks or so. But you can see that that's a major league bat right there, right? But if you were to go for it and fail, people go, I got it. Like, good job, Jed. Even though they didn't make it, I'm glad that he went for it. If you don't do that, then you look timid. You look cowardly in a way. And you look like you're doing it from a financial standpoint. It looks like you're pinching the pennies and you're saying, you know, if we win, great, but you know, we didn't really want to go over the top in this whole thing. You had an opportunity to dodger it, and you didn't dodger it.
And the thing is, the specter of 2027 and all that is looming over the whole freaking thing, and it's going to matter to some teams and maybe not matter to others, but it's going to matter to a lot of teams, and that's a big part of it. But yeah, Lawrence, I think you're right. And as I'm watching Daniel Palencia give up rockets and lose that lead yesterday, I kept thinking about 2016 when Hector Rondon was found money as a closer. It was like, oh my God, Rule 5 pick, Hector Rondon. Look at this, we found a guy, Daniel Palencia. Great pickup as an Andrew Chafin trade for the stretch run a few years back. And you've turned him into this, it's great. But you could have gone over the top and gotten yourself a little something-something on top, like Joan Duran, who threw 103 last night for his final pitch for the Phillies on Sunday night baseball.
And it seemed like the market for some of the bigger names that we were talking about may have been prohibitive. I'm willing to give Jed that.
The market was skewed to relievers. I gave this stat yesterday. 52% of the innings thrown in the playoffs last year were thrown by relievers. 52%. It's insane. That's the kind of league we're in now. Okay, so if it's about bullpen, then go get that. Now we're counting on Palencia and Keller to be the dudes that they have been. But those are found money dudes.
And that's off the heels of DFAing Ryan Pressly. Like all of this stuff kind of happened where you're like, oh, well, there's a move that the Cubs made that was ideally like an aggressive move. A guy that wasn't happy, you found a trade partner, you're able to bring him in. You were hoping that he would be one of your guys. It turned out that he wasn't one of those guys. And the whole time, and that's why I kept bringing up the, hey, would you look at that? The Brewers are still here. And now you're looking ahead at them. Like, now this series that you're going to be singing at becomes huge.
Brewers just coming off a series where they had 56 hits in three games. Jack Centurio goes on the injured list, and the night that he does, every single player in the lineup has a hit, all nine of them. It's they are just, they're a contact and base hit machine. It's a different thing. I like home runs. Big fan of home runs. But when they don't come in the form of Kyle Tucker and Seiya Suzuki, then all of a sudden you got some holes.
That's the other part. All of this stuff has been happening while Michael Busch has gone into a slump. Pete Crow Armstrong has been spinning himself into the ground, swinging at baseballs and striking out. Kyle Tucker, that thing yesterday, that was concerning to me. Because I know that you can look at it and say, oh, he was trying to bunt for a hit. That looked like a guy who is still trying to find it and was like, I can't find it, so I'm going to try and help the team this way by moving a runner. And if I end up getting a hit out of it, great. But I am uncomfortable in the batter's box right now, and I can't figure out why. All of this stuff happening, the hard hit balls from Palencia, all of it just, it feels like, oh, this is not good.
It's a different vibe now than it was a week ago.
The way I thought about yesterday's game was yesterday was relief and not joy. And most of the season has been joy over on the north side.
And now wins feel like relief. Now, part of that is just the natural emotions of a pennant race. And the emotions of a good, tight division in a league that's wide open. And you want this. You want this drama. I think I'll get back to that mindset. I will find that again.
Sure.
But I'm admitting that this week has been a little tough in that regard.
Well, you'll find it again if the Cubs kind of come back to equilibrium. You'll find it again.
And I think they still have what it takes. It's just that they need things to work out for them.
Yes.
And they did not kind of go over the top to ensure it.
Gets Stallone to turn his hat around, and then you go over, you've changed the grip, and then you go over the top. Remember that was the whole bit?
Yeah, now we're back to Travis Bajant and Tyson Bajant. You found a way to turn it to Bears.
Go Bears. We'll talk about the Bears coming up at 3 o'clock. Okay. We do want to talk more about Kyle Tucker. And there was something that was said that was kind of interesting that we need to talk about, the bigger picture stuff. But for sure, this, where we're at with the Cubs right now is not where anyone would have wanted them to be, especially as soon as, what, 2 weeks ago. As recently as 2 weeks ago, you would be like, oh, this is the place that they're in right now? It's a struggle, and we'll see how they get through it. But we're going to keep talking about it. More on Kyle Tucker on the Spiegel and Holmes show next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the score.
Kyle Tucker the batter. And the pitch to Kyle, butted back toward the mound. Safe at third is Bush, and Tucker is out at first. He'll get a sacrifice. 1-3 on the sacrifice. So Bush at third. Maybe Craig Counsell senses that it'll be another low-scoring game, Ron, and he's playing for one tally right away.
Well, I don't think this was a sacrifice bunt at all. This was Kyle Tucker trying to bunt for a base hit, and unfortunately it just went right back to the pitcher.
Yeah, I just kind of figured just try and take advantage of the situation, just try and move him over. And, you know, I know I have most confidence in the guys behind me to get him in, so we're just playing selfish baseball, and we try and do that every day, come out here and win games.
So Kyle's basically telling you, yeah, I was just trying to move him over, which scares me a little bit when you think about what type of player he's supposed to be. But then you look at the splits and you look at the numbers in July. And if you're just tuning into the Spiegel and Holmes show, hi, hello, we're here with you.
Hi, and we're on the Twitch.
Hi.
We're everywhere.
What's up to the Twitch mob?
How are we doing today?
Thank you for asking.
That's very nice
of you. Appreciate that.
For asking us that.
Kyle Tucker hurt his finger on the 1st of June on a slide, and Boog was talking about it, I think, in Friday's game, maybe Saturday's game, that it can affect the way you're holding the bat in terms of your power. Like the index finger can be the gas pedal, as the hitting coach Dustin Kelly refers to it.
Didn't seem to hurt him all that much in June.
Well, you know, there was definitely some, what has it been, 6 home runs total since June 1st.
He hit 5 of them in June.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, his June numbers are on par. They're actually really great. 311, 404, 578 for a 982 OPS.
Yeah, it's July where things get a little funky.
218, 380, which I want to get to.
See, the OBP,
295.
The OBP is still there.
Yeah, he's on base. He's drawing walks.
Uh-huh. So the approach is still there and the mindset is still there. It's that lack of power. It's the power that has gone away, and then that can get in your head. That was a weird bunt attempt.
It really was. And I'm like, that is uncomfortable. To see that guy. But I also appreciate him doing everything that he can while he's clearly, whether it's physical or mental or a combination of both, he's in a bad space, yet he's still getting on base for your team, and he's trying to play winning baseball. So I can't fault a guy for knowing that he's messed up right now and still saying, here's a way that I can be a part of this and try to be a good force inside of their lineup.
Yeah, no, I think it's true. And if the Brewers weren't doing what they were doing, then, I mean, the Cubs would be leading any division in baseball right now. Any division in baseball. They're not leading this one because the best team in baseball is, oddly, that team in Milwaukee.
I was listening to Craig talk on the pregame show yesterday. I was listening to a little bit of a hit and run, and it bled into the pregame show. And listening to him be like, yeah, it's cool that we built this cushion and stuff, but the goal is to win baseball games. Mm-hmm. And we need to start doing that more consistently.
Every single one. Every single day. Saturday was a tough one that got away, that's for sure.
Yep. So Crane Kenny was on the radio station, and a lot of people wondering, is Kyle Tucker going to be a Cub beyond this year?
Once he sees me and Tanny, you're in, right? And Alex,
you
drive
guys are
up.
Just going to do the 2 Sprinter vans, right?
Six Sprinter vans, each one with $100 million.
I've secured the cash. We're all good.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, it's a go.
Okay, because I got the vans. Tanny, you get the duffel bags? We need 600 duffel bags.
Oh, yeah, I got them.
Okay, so we're locked and loaded. So we're good. So we just show up with $600 million and Operation hashtag Woo King Tuck will be a success.
It seems like you guys may have more financial preparation than the Cubs do in that regard.
Oh, no. Well, so, there's no Kyle Tucker fund. The Ricketts family, I know fans don't always want to hear this, but what? They allow us to put every single dollar back into the baseball budget, and we'll hand it to Jed and Carter, and we'll say, here's what 2026 looks like to us. These are the resources you've already committed to other players. These are the resources that are necessary to run the ballpark, and the rest of it is up for you to decide how to use, and he'll make smart decisions as he has. So if that budget allows for Kyle Tucker to continue playing for us, that's wonderful. If he decides there's a different direction to spend that money, you know, we'll do that. But same old, David. I'm sorry I don't have a better answer for you, but it's going to be, you know, a Jed and Carter call this fall.
On ITC, inside the clubhouse.
Baby T!
Baby T, what up? Running that 2-minute offense, as he always is. So there's no Kyle Tucker fund. I'm going to go ahead and offer the Spiegel and Holmes fund to be used for that. Alex, I know you secured the money. Are you okay with sharing that with the organization?
Every dollar invested back into this, yes.
Right. Every dollar that... Where did you get that, by the way? Did you think about giving any of it for cancer research? Or no? No, is this more important just to be safe?
I hope you just got it today, because if you had that for, let's say, a week or so, that's just really bad teammateship.
Right? Yeah. Seriously.
And it's bad for humanity.
Holding on to 600 mil dough and not doing a drop. I didn't see Alex raise a finger last week. So
it's funny. I didn't see you donate the Sprinter vans either.
That's true. I did donate $500, though.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I donated $500. I paid Danny for a baseball tix in the final hour of the show.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, for real.
That's dope.
I offered him $83 for a take on each player acquisition that the Cubs picked up. And he said, I think he's good. I'm like, all right, that's $83. Let's get the next one.
So, Danny, did you play the sounder for that?
Sounder got a workout, man.
83.
Sounder got an absolute workout. But yeah, I donated $500. It's not like Liam Hendricks, who donated $10,000 while on the air. It's pretty awesome. It's
pretty dope.
A lot of people did some very good things.
Yes, there's no doubt about
that. So do you, when you hear no Kyle Tucker fund, is that...
I'm not surprised by it, honestly. I don't think that means that they won't pursue him. I think they'll pursue him, and I think he'll probably sign someplace else. But I think they'll get their opportunity, and they can see if they can make him stay, and if they want him to stay.
I'll tell you this. He's still going to get every penny that he was going to get, regardless of what people think of this last month.
I agree with you.
Right? And there's some people like, well, you know, he's pricing himself down.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. And there's going to be multiple suitors. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about what's going on at Bears camp, and let's talk about how people feel about selected videos of Caleb that have made their way to the interwebs. We'll do that next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.